Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, my beloved saints of the Most High God. We honor the Lord tonight for his goodness. Truly the Lord is good. He's worthy to be praised. I pray that this year and this month is finding you in better health and better spirits than last year. Amen. In spite of our encountering the tests, the trials, the tragedies, the hurts, the disappointments, we yet have hope if we hope in the Lord. Our scripture tonight is Psalms 43, 1 through 5. And my thought tonight is my hope is in God. My hope is in God. And it is important for us to understand that God is there for us. And he's there for us through Christ Jesus. He has made himself available for us. Christ Jesus is the mediator between God and man. Christ Jesus is the one that more or less beautifies us, cleanses us, purifies us, makes us right for the Father. You see, the Father is holy. God said, I am holy. The Lord God Almighty is a holy God. And if he, and since he is a holy God, he says that he requires, or he's requesting, for those that will follow him and to worship him in spirit and in truth, and to know that he is the true and living God, and to place their hope in him. We experience and we encounter life's disappointments, life's failures and flaws, life's stumbling blocks that comes our way. But it's important for us to understand and to know that he's there for us, even in the midst of what we're going through. So it's important for us to continue to trust him and to believe in him. Continue to allow him to be our guide, our hope, our trust, our everything. Put your trust in Jesus, for he will make everything all right. See, tonight we're going to talk just for a little while about where your hope is. In times like these, we need assurance and we need insurance. And the only assurance or insurance that we can have, it comes from the true and living God. This hope that is given from the Father is given from the Father through his Son, Christ Jesus. It is he who made it possible for us to be able to call on his name and get a response, to call on the name of the Father, to ask, the scripture says, what you will of the Father in Jesus' name, and he would do that. You cannot go to the Father without going through Christ Jesus. No matter what man you put there, the bottom line is Christ is the only way. He's the only one that sacrificed his life. He's the only one that prophesied and said, I will return. And he did just as he said. The angels bore witness. Heaven and earth bore witness to the Redeemer, to Christ. When Christ was there in the water to be baptized, out of all the books that I have read, holy books as well as regular fictional and non-fictional books, history, documentaries, whatever you may call it, the books that I've read, I've not found anywhere where there was an individual who came in the form or the way he was prophesied to come many, many hundreds of years prior and before. Here we find this Christ that is mentioned aforetime that would come and what he would do and save his people from their sins. And he would come and bring deliverance. He would come and take the fear of death away. But there was a fear of death. Man did not know what was on the other side because no one was able to go and come back and tell them what was there, what even existed, if there was even life after death. Find that Christ Jesus came that we might have life and that more abundantly. He came. And he himself came, and he is life himself. He is life itself. But he said, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. Spoke these words to Mary when Lazarus was dead. I am the resurrection, and I am the life. Which means it is me, it is I, the power of life. Or life itself dwells within me. I am life. I am the one that can bring forth or curse away. I am the one that when I speak it, things begin to happen. It is Christ that beckoned for Peter to step out on the waters. When the disciples were in the boat, they were afraid out there on that water. They saw ghosts. They thought they saw a ghost. Peter said, Lord, if it is you, bid me to come. And we find that the Lord told Peter to come on. Peter's hope was in the Lord. As Peter stepped out on gravity, the elements responded to the obedience of Peter to the word which was spoken to him. Life. And the word spoke and said, come. And when life itself and the creator of the elements spoke, the elements had no choice but to respond to the master. The master said, come. The elements began to respond, and Peter stepped out on the water. The Bible says that when Peter stepped out on the water and began to walk to Jesus, Christ said, come. And Peter was doing just that. The Bible says that when Peter began to see and recognize or acknowledge, see, Peter saw the waves doing what it did. And Peter took his eyes off of the promise. He took his eyes off the promise. And Peter began to lose hope. He said his hope was in Christ. Christ said, come. If it's you, Peter, if it's you, Christ, bid me to come unto you on this water. I know I can't walk on water. Don't nobody walk on no water. But if that's you, you can do all things, Master. You tell me to come to you. Peter's faith, Peter's hope was in Christ, and he stepped out. But then he began to lose hope because he began to allow the circumstances around him to cause him to take his focus off of Christ. You see, you can't afford, we can't afford to take our focus off of Christ. We can't afford to lose hope in these trying times. This is the time that we need to stand up in Christ. Let the hope that we have in God stand up in us. The assurance, knowing that our hope, our trust, our all is in the Lord, and he will not allow us to fail. So we have to stand firm on the promise that the Lord has given us. His promises are yea and amen. His promises are true. He shall fulfill. He shall fulfill. What he said will be. The Lord is true to his word. And he's going to accomplish what he promised. He's not a God that he should lie. He's not a man that he should have to make up anything or duck and hide or get any answers from anyone else. For he is the answer. The answer that we have, the answers that we need is in him. And all we have to do is continue to trust and hope in him. And we will get the answers that we need. Psalms 43, Psalms of David, here in the second book of the Psalms. Remember I told you Psalms only had five books or five divisions. Just five. And or broken up into different five different books or divisions. There is not any 42nd division of Psalms. There is not a 73rd division of Psalms. There's not a 150, there's no such thing. And my brothers and my sisters, we sound very ignorant and very unlearned in the word when we are still yet saying that Psalms has 23 divisions and 14th division and everything, trying to sound deep, but we're really making a fool out of ourselves because we haven't studied and researched. So take your time and study. The Bible says study to show thyself approved unto God, workmen that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So today, we are hoping in the Lord. Psalms 43, my God, say that I am right. I'm reading from the Easy English Version. Tell it to the people that do not love me, rescue me from the man that tells lies and does bad things. This is because you are my refuge, God. Why are you always so unkind to me? Why must I continue to be so sad? You let my enemy do what they like to me. Send out your light and your truth. Let them be my guide. They will bring me to your holy mountain and to the house where you live. They will come to the altar of God, the God that makes me happy. I will praise you with a harp, God, my God. My soul, why are you so sad? Why are you so restless inside me? Hope in God, because I will praise him again. When God is with me, he will do great things for me. This is a psalm of David. David first, here we find that he has a plea and a cry unto the Lord. And then he cries and pleads for the people. But he's asking for the light and the truth of the Lord to guide him, for he has hope in the Lord, knowing that his light and the Lord's truth will guide him to the holy mountain and would lead him to the house or the place where are his blessings that God has set aside for him. The only way we're going to get to our blessings or get to the light is through the truth. The truth brings light or sheds light on the dark spots, the dark places in our lives that we don't want man to see or trying to hide from man. It is the light, is the truth of the light that shines on us, that shows us our errors, shows us our wrong, shows us where we need to catch up the slack, shows us where we're lacking, shows us where we're sitting. It helps us to get focused on the truth that we can leave the former things of old, that we can lay aside the weights and the sins that do so easily beset us. See, as we run in this race that the Lord has set before us, our hope must be in him. But in order for us to hope in the Lord and to run this race with patience, we have to follow the guidelines that he has set before us. They're not hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. But what that simply means is when your heart and mind is not into doing it or really geared to doing this, then of course it's going to be hard for you because sin is there pretty much taking preference, and that's what you want to do is entertain. And so there's a transgression. The way the transgression is hard. You sin because, I mean, it's hard for you because you haven't made up your mind completely to walk with God. Because when you really make up your mind to walk with the Lord, you're going to have some issues that come up still. But it's not hard because your mind is made up. And just like if you're in school or going somewhere doing something and you have run into some bumps in the road, some difficulties or some setbacks, your mind is made up. You go into where you're going to or getting where you got to get to, and regardless to what happens or whatever the case may be, you got to get there and you're going to do what you got to do to do. And you're not going to allow anything to stop you. Stumbling blocks or bumps in the road or whatever, you're not going to allow anything to stop you. You may be a little late getting there, but you're going to make it. And so the same is with the Lord. The enemy throws things in our path to make it difficult for us to get to him. But as long as we continue to press, continue to move forward, continue to work towards the goal, the scripture says, pressing toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So we're striving, and as we're reaching and we're pressing forward, he said the press means that because of things we run into, cases and issues and situations that we come into and we face, that's what it is. But Paul said, you have to be fully persuaded in your own mind. He said, I am persuaded that there's nothing and nobody that can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, you know what? I've been some things. I've done some things. I've experienced some things. I've been some places from the lowest of the lowest to the highest of the high. I have education. I've traveled. I have been some things to the kings and magistrates and to rulers. I've done some things. My hands are not clean, but guess what? I love God, and I'm sold out to Christ. Paul said, I'm sold out for this gospel of Christ Jesus. I'm sold out. I give over completely to him. He said, I would that you be like me. He said, Paul said, I don't need a woman. I'm sold out for the sake of the gospel for Christ Jesus, and I would that all y'all be like me. You know, be sold out for Christ Jesus like this, like I am. He said, but I know that's not the case. So those of you that cannot say more or less abstain or cannot keep yourselves, he said, then you need to go ahead on and pray and ask God to the Lord to bless you, and you find your wife and you settle down and you won't burn. You marry so that you don't burn. In other words, you'll be going on doing things. That's what you get married for. All right. But we're going on to something else. But nevertheless, so many things are taking place now, and people are doing so many things in the name of, to where the Bible tells us that they don't hold to sound doctrine. They will not hold to sound doctrine in the last days, that fables and false things that they will hold unto and grasp and believe rather than the truth. They'd rather believe a lie. Fables and different things that come up, they rather succumb or allow these things to become truth to them as opposed to reality. And you see that around. We can look around and see that happening and been taking place, where people are deceived and they'd rather believe a lie. They would rather die believing a lie than to live with the truth. And we see that the minds, the wisdom of the wise has turned backwards. The minds of the people, flesh, mammon, has taken over to the point where it's even in the churches where men and women now are doing all ungodly things in the name of the church or the name of God. Hiding behind the sacred desk, using the sacred desk as a tool or as ammunition or as a means to get over on or gain access to, if you will, both men and women. You have the players or the little playboys or the little church pimps, the church players now that they're not just out, sweet-talking, going from church to church, sweet-talking the women and the girls anymore, but they're going from church to church, sweet-talking the women and the men. They have different modes that they swing in, and they swing in whatever they swing with at that moment, that's what they swing with, and yet get up and try to proclaim the gospel. Have men who refuse to marry but will sleep around with women in the church and other churches that refuses to get married as the Bible tells us to do. If you're not going to get married, then you must be as Paul. Uh-huh. But it didn't say if you're not going to marry that it's okay for you to sleep around and have different girlfriends and different female friends here and there. But he said, no, you marry so that you won't burn. Okay, that's the reason for you get married and have a nice wife and settle down so you won't burn. But not to have a wife and you're still going out dipping and playing and having your side pieces and what have you in the church. That's not what that's about. But God is doing a cleansing in the church. He's doing a cleansing in the body. And if you are not right, if we are not right with God, and we're in the pulpit, in the behind the sacred desk, and we're not right with God, and we're up before God's people, He's going to get us. He's going to get you if you're not doing right, and your heart is not right, and you're living any kind of way, and you're up before God's people and over God's people, and they're depending and counting on you to preach them and get them to heaven. They have given themselves more or less over to the trust of your care for you to get them, see to it, and help them get to heaven. And here you are living any kind of shabby and raggedy way up before the people. And you wonder why certain subjects that you don't preach and you can't preach because you're not living the life. And I remember growing up, our leader used to preach to us and teach to us and tell us as young men and women growing up in the church and in the ministry, he said, you want to live your life. Live your life to where you can handle the whole book. And that's what you want to do. That's the life that Christ is asking for. That's the life that God is calling for, the life that you live, that you can preach the whole book. You don't have to pick and choose or skip around or skate over anything. You can preach the whole book because you have lived a life godly and holy according to the Word of God to where you can preach the Word of God. But when you're not living the life and you're living any kind of way and you have exceptions to the rule in your life, then you're limited and you only can preach a certain thing. You're only able to preach certain things because you're living a certain lifestyle. But God is calling for his people to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And he's looking for those people, the people, to live a holy and godly life before him. And my brother, my sister, there is a remnant that is yet standing that will live the life that Christ is calling for in these last and evil days, in these trying times. Even now, even in this day and time, there are some people who are sold out and who are living the life that Christ is calling for right now. There are some true people that are living godly, regardless of what other people are doing. So don't be discouraged. Keep your hope in the Lord on tonight and be encouraged knowing that God is with you, even in these trying times, as child, and regardless of what we go through, he's going to bring you out. It is his truth. It is his light that is shining that brings us to freedom. Be encouraged, and I look forward to seeing you all and talking again to you on next week. Blessings.